your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, fellow traders. This is Dr. Paula T. coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. This is our weekly, far out, fabulous radio show, helping you create uncommon wealth in the markets by bringing your finances to a higher power. So, what do we got going here today? Well, appears we had a pretty big sell-off in the market on Friday. Oh, by the way, it is Sunday, June 7, 2026. Forgot to include that. So I had several calls Friday and Saturday from traders kind of panicking. Now, as you know, I'm not a licensed CTA, so I do not give trading advice. What I do help traders understand is how not to react to current market action. Now, the market had been going steadily up for quite some time since President Trump got elected. And just like with any bull markets, and I'll call it a bull market just, you know, because it wasn't sleeping, okay? You know, there is an expiration, okay? There's only so much support that markets are going to handle. And when there is a sell-off, that's usually because some of the big players have made up their mind that this is as far as they're going to let the markets go. Now, you may be saying to yourself, you keep telling us as individual traders that we make up the markets, that we are an integral part of the markets, and you are, and don't ever forget that. However, there are still bigger players than you or me or a lot of other traders that you or I may know. Now, that means they may have an influence over the markets, but that doesn't mean that you have to react to their influence. Now, to make this a little easier to understand, let's talk a little bit about all these TikTok and Instagram influencers. Okay? These are usually young people, probably under the age of 35, usually maybe late teens, early to mid 20s. And they've made a name for themselves, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, by constantly being on those social media venues stating their opinions or, you know, whatever it is they do. Okay. I mean, there's such a multitude of, such a variety of actions that these influencers provide that I'm not going to sit here and go down the list, but you know what I'm talking about because far too many of you are drawn to the TikToks and the YouTubes and the Instagram and all the other ones that I don't even remember their names because I don't watch them. I have far too many more important things to do in my life than be sucked into someone else's opinion about, usually most of the time, something they know little about. But they have created a genre for themselves on social media. And, you know, God bless them. You know, this is what they've chosen to do. And if they're good at it, obviously they get monetized. I just have no interest in watching someone else do whatever they do because I'm too busy and too interested in doing what I do. So, but my point being is that they would not be on social media if countless people, including a lot of you traders reading here, listening to this, weren't supporting them. Okay? Now think about this. They talk about, oh my gosh, you know, the TikTok sensation, oh, she had 2 million likes the other day, or, you know, whatever. We hear this periodically. So if it's no different than allowing yourself to be attracted to or addicted to the big boys in the markets, you know, the Goldman Sachs, the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, the whoever's, okay? Now, you know, Warren Buffett is infamous for telling investors and traders exactly how he works. He will get an opinion, maybe, and we're just guessing that he's getting an opinion, or he could just make a statement that, oh, I think such and such a stock has reached its peak. And because he has such a name and because he is a billionaire, people listen. Just like the old commercials on TV about E.F. Hutton. Probably many of you listening to this may not remember those because you probably weren't born yet. But I think they were in the 1970s when I was still pretty young. But it was always when E.F. Hutton talks. And they would be showing a conference room full of people or a restaurant full of people, and everybody would stop talking. And then the rest of the commercial was everyone listens. So that's way back when influencing the markets, meaning E.F. Hutton was such a great brokerage firm that everybody wanted to know what their opinion of the markets was. It's no different with Warren Buffett. Many, many traders that I work with just complain to me repeatedly that they have studied Warren Buffett and they want to trade just like him. And they don't seem to be able to grasp how he does what he does. And as I've said previously, first of all, he's like 80 some years old. So he's been in the market for at least 60 some years. So when he started investing or trading, we're talking three generations, okay? I mean, I was barely born when he started investing. So the markets were different. There was no electronic trading. There were, you know, it just a whole different mindset, a whole different ballgame. Now, you might be saying, well, okay, but as the markets evolved, he had to evolve as well. And that is true. What I'm saying here is that he absolutely understands human nature. And that is probably one of the first things that he learned as a trader or an investor way back when. There's the herd mentality. There's the crowd mindset. And this takes us right back to the example of internet influencers. People on the internet who influence your opinion about anything or influence you enough so you keep going back and watching their videos or listening to them. It's the same thing. Now, I will say that a lot of these people trying to influence you on social media, a lot of them are funny. They may be happy things. They may be nice things. A lot of them are people who don't know what they're talking about. And I would say there's more of them than there are actual professionals. And please don't send me any hate email, okay? I'm not attacking anybody on social media. All I'm saying is in my life, there's very few people out there that are going to influence my life because, first of all, I think for myself. And that's what every trader has to learn that they have to do. You have to think for yourself. So you can say, I want to trade like Warren Buffett, like many of you who have come to me for coaching or attended my workshops say, but you can't trade like anyone else because you're not inside their mind. You don't know what they're thinking. All you know is what they're saying out loud. And in the case of Warren Buffett, all he's saying is that he wants to make some more money. So he's going to make a statement knowing that he can influence the crowd. He can influence the group enough that he can say, I think this stock has reached its top. And those without a lot of really good knowledge about the markets will sell off, probably losing on the way down because they probably bought it on the way up. And then Warren Buffett will see when it kind of settles back down and the dust, you know, blows away, and he'll buy the stock back really cheap. He does this all the time, folks. That's all you need to know about him. That's all you need to know about him. He knows human nature. And anyone who wants to be a winning warrior trader has to also understand human nature. And how do you understand human nature? By knowing who you are yourself. Now, I get a lot of pushback on this because a lot of you will say, well, I know who I am. Yes, you know who you are, but you don't know who you are as a trader. I can guarantee that, because you wouldn't be listening to this show if you already knew who you were as a trader. You know who you are as a son, as a brother, as a boyfriend, as a husband. Of course, I'm just using the male vernacular here, wife, sister, daughter. You know who you are in those areas. But you don't know who you are as a trader because you haven't defined what it means for you to be a trader. And this is what we began talking about last week, about your mental state of mind and how healthy it is. Because if you don't know what you think, you don't know who you are as a trader because you haven't defined yourself as a trader, then you can't trade like anybody else. That doesn't work. So, you know, we're going to go over this a little more in depth here today because I really want to bring this home and make it much more clear to those of you that you can't trade like anyone else. You can only trade like you. And that's what we're here for, to learn together. So think about that as we head into the break. So before the break, we were talking about your mental environment and how healthy it is. And a couple of you wrote in this past week after we started this discussion on the previous show, and you asked, how can I know if I'm mentally healthy? Now, we all know how we feel physically. And most of us know how we feel emotionally, for the most part. But not everyone knows how they feel mentally, physically, and spiritually as a trader. In the past 25 years that I have been coaching traders, I have to say there's probably maybe about 15% of all the thousands of traders that I've worked with that are emotionally healthy as a trader. Now, what do I mean by that? We've talked and talked and talked, and we'll continue to talk about the fact that trading is a unique environment. It is the only environment where you can lose everything that you have made in seconds. You can lose even more than that, especially if you're in options or crypto. You can lose everything. You can lose your trading account. You can, you know, if you took out a home equity loan to fund or refund your trading account, now you don't have home equity. If you borrowed or you cashed in your retirement fund. These are all things you have to think about as a trader before you fund or refund your trading account. But very few of you do, because you think if you consider the ramifications of how you're funding your account or how you're refunding it, that means that you're a failure. And it's exactly the opposite. That's money management. You can't, as they say, rob Peter to pay Paul. So getting back to my point, as I said months ago, the market is probably not going to sustain a price of gold at almost 5,500. Now, it went back up for a while, and now it's below 4,400 as of the end of, as of the close last Friday. Where do we think it's going? Who knows? We don't know. I mean, so it was down almost 4%. And that's due in large part to politicians here in the US, and their constant squabbling with our president. Now, I'm not being political here, but it is a fact. Now, that has to do with them, but that doesn't have anything to do with you and your approach to your trading. It shouldn't matter to you what's going on in Washington, D.C. Shouldn't matter to you what's going on anywhere else on the planet. I mean, yes, you have to have an awareness of it, so you're up on current events, but that still has nothing to do with you only putting on authentic trades, not moving your stops, not getting in too early or too late, feel like you're missing out and just getting in the market to get in the market, or not following your rules. None of this outside influence can have any effect on you as a trader. And the only reason anything has an effect on you as a trader is because you're so used to pointing and clicking your mouse on social media and either be, being entertained or disappointed or made upset. You are allowing all these outside influences to affect you. And then you think, okay, now I'm going to go and trade. It doesn't work like that, folks. Trading is the only business where you cannot multitask. Trading is the only business that you where you have to know who you are. Who you are. You have to know what you think, you have to know what you feel, you have to know what you believe about money, success, what it means to be a trader, especially those of you who have family members who are raking you over the coals because you're a trader even to begin with, even though you may be financially supporting them. So you got to stop and think, folks. If you don't know why you're thinking, why you're in a rush to make a boatload of money as a trader, then you're not going to be able to fulfill that desire to do so. I mean, everybody has history, okay? Everyone has history. Everyone has stuff from years ago or their childhood or even recently, maybe last week, whatever, that affects them emotionally and spiritually, and maybe even physically. I mean, I know personally myself when I'm stressed out or I'm angry, I get an upset stomach. It's just who I am. That's how my mind and my body interact with each other. So my point being is that if you have not defined who you are as a trader, if you are allowing any outside influence, no matter where it comes from, to interfere with your focus on making money as a trader, which is the only reason you, me, and every other trader on the planet are traders, then you will not accomplish your goals. You will not achieve financial independence as a trader. Just won't happen. So you have to ask yourself, what does social media have to do with my trading? What does you watching social media have to do with your trading? Nothing. Has absolutely nothing to do with your trading. Now, I'm not talking about you subscribing to some provider. I'm talking about any other social media that has nothing to do with trading. You shouldn't be watching it. You shouldn't be listening to anything while you're in the markets. And don't come back to me and say, okay, well, it was just for a couple minutes. Yeah, and in those couple minutes, you missed a move. Or you got out when you should have stayed in. Or you moved your stops. I've heard it all, folks. So you want to be distracted by social media or anything else, that's fine. But you're not a trader then. So getting back to your mental health. We had a big drop in the market on Friday. And again, this goes back to a lot of, you know, things that are happening in the news. But the realities of the markets are they're in constant motion. They could be going up, they could be going down, they could be going sideways, you know, they could be a zigzag. It shouldn't matter to you. Now, if you had a clear, concise focus this past Friday, you would have been selling off. You would have been selling off gold the moment it hit 5,400. Like I told you, I did. The moment it hit 5,300, I gathered up all my old jewelry that I don't wear anymore, and I took it over to my broker. Yeah, it was at 5,325, I think, when I sold all of it. I made a lot of money. A lot of money. Most of the jewelry I inherited, I didn't really care for it. It's not my style, so I never really wore it. So what I did was took it over, gave me a good price based on, you know, 5,325 price of gold that day, and I invested in nicer pieces that I like. So that's an investment. There wasn't any doubt in my mind that it was not going to the moon, as so many of you thought it would. There's support and resistance, folks. These are actualities. And there were people like me that were in the market that felt it was pretty close to a top. And I wanted to take advantage of getting in on the top, what I thought was close to the top. It's still an opinion. It just happened to work. That's what trading's all about. Okay? And we'll talk about not having an opinion about market movement after the break. So let's just think about that. And I'm not here to bust your chops. I'm just trying to explain the realities of having a healthy mental perspective as you trade. And we'll be back shortly.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, folks, first of all, again, I'm not here to say I'm, you know, influencing you about trading. But what I am trying to do is bring you an awareness about how you need to think to be successful. Now, there were countless people talking about gold going, you know, to $6,000. You know, people, well-known people in our industry. I just didn't feel it. And there's lots of times when you kind of have to follow that feeling. It wasn't a feeling of dread. It just was, it just, even if it did, the point was I had made up my mind that if it hit 5,500 or pretty darn close, I was going to sell my jewelry. That was my number. Okay. And everybody has a sacred number, or you should have. I know Mark Douglas briefly touched on sacred numbers in the pirated workshops, but, we're going to go into that down the road. But those are definitely, that's something that I definitely go over in my live workshops. And that is knowing, let's say your system gives you a setup with a probable profit-taking amount. You still have to determine how close to that probable amount you would be willing to take that is less than that probable profit-taking. So let's just say, for example, whatever market you're in, let's say you get a, and this is just an example, okay, has nothing to do with any particular markets. Let's just say your trading system gives you a setup where the probable profit-taking maximum would be 5,000. Let's just say 5,000. Would you take 4,000? Would you take 4,500? 4,200? 4,950? You have to ask yourself these questions, folks. Because it may not ever reach 5,000. And it could go turn and fall and go against you. Where would you get back? Where would you get out then? Let's say you got in at 2,000. Would 3,000 in profit be enough for you? I'm just talking about, you know, one contract here. Would be for me. Hey, if 4,000, then I'd be all right. The rest is gravy. So you have to ask yourself, what is the least amount of profit I am willing to take based on my setup, based on my system? You have to know that for every single trade. That's what I did with gold. My maximum ultimate, you know, amount of the price of gold actually was 5,000. And by the time I gathered everything together in my inventory of jewelry to see what I wanted to sell, it had already gone up a couple hundred more dollars. So as far as I was concerned, I was way beyond my expectations. And then it came down and it hasn't gone back up since. So I did what I knew I needed to do for me. But that's because I'd already made up my mind, if it hit 5,000, I was going to sell, period. I didn't care that it went up to 5,300 something. It didn't matter to me because I was done. The trade was over for me. I still made a little extra than I thought, but the trade was over because I had already determined that was my number. And that's what I do in T-bonds. That's what I do with my stocks. You have to have a sacred number for each market you're in. And that's only something that you can determine. And you will know it when you have defined yourself as a trader. When you have determined what you think about being a trader. When you believe in yourself to be able to make it as a trader. Then all of that feeling that all of you so desperately want and call me for coaching about, you're going to have that feeling. Now, would I have cared if it went up to 6,000? No, because I made my profit, because I knew what I was looking for. That's it. It's really that simple, folks. It's that simple. And I'm going to tell you how I know this, because I have defined myself as a trader. How have I defined myself as a trader? One of the most easiest way to define yourself as a trader is not to back down and give up your profit in other areas of your life. And we've been over this before, but I really need to bring this home now, especially, you know, with, you know, thing, you know, the cost of things has gone up a little bit, especially here in California. That's why we will be moving from California, hopefully in the fall. But, and also too, my time is done here. You know, I came over here on a trade. I'm looking at it as a trade, and all the signals are here. The trade is done. It's time to move. Mark Douglas and I did this all the time. Every time we moved from apartment to a condo to a house, we knew when it was time to move because we felt it. That meant the trade of that apartment was done. That trade with the condo was done. That trade with that home was done. And I know you know what I'm talking about, folks. You get the same feeling too, but you disregard it because you think it's supposed to be some huge, you know, flash of lightning in the sky, or a big rainbow comes, you know, into your home or into your trading office. No, it's just a feeling within yourself that you know it's time to get out of the trade. And I know you guys have felt this because you tell me this over and over and you say, I didn't listen to my instinct. And that's okay. It's okay if you didn't listen to it as long as you learn from it. Okay? It's okay. So this is what it means to define yourself as a trader. When you believe in yourself enough to listen to those feelings, not wishful thinking. And I know all of you know what I'm talking about because we have all had feelings in other areas in our lives where we know it was God directed. We know that a guardian angel was keeping us from turning down a certain street or not, you know, not going out and through a green light until you looked all ways, and then a car, you know, ran the red light. We've all had those daily miracles. That's why we reissued our book, Living in Grace, which you can get on Amazon in a Kindle and paperback edition. That is to remind all of you traders and anyone else that you do experience that feeling inside you. That's from God. That's from Jesus. That's from Buddha, whoever you subscribe to. Those feelings, you know, are God-based. That is His message to you in those moments. But because of the society, the way it is, and all these outside influences, we allow ourselves to get talked out of that. Like I said, there was a lot of people saying, gold's going up, it's going up, oh my God, it's going to the moon. I didn't feel that. God told me, we're done. Go sell your jewelry. And I did. And it worked. Could I have gotten a couple hundred more bucks, you know, from where I sold it at? No, because I was done. The trade was over. I got what I wanted out of it, and then some. So this is what you have to believe about yourself, folks. You truly have to believe that you're going to start trusting yourself when you get that clear and concise message from our Heavenly Father, who's really trying hard to make you wealthy, okay? He's really trying his best to have you listen to him and acknowledge the message that he's sending you so that you can make the type of wealth, uncommon wealth, that you want for yourself and your family and anything else you want to do. I listened to that. Mark Douglas listened to that. And I'm going to tell you right now, when he and I first started, and I've said this before, he and I lived in a studio apartment. I mean, we had nothing, right? We didn't have two nickels to rub together when we first started writing The Disciplined Trader. But we had a mission, and we knew that God would provide. And Mark's faith was so strong. I felt so blessed that God brought him into my life so that I could have someone like myself and we could work together. So as we head into break, think about what your faith means to you. And think about where, you know, you may want to start embracing that just a bit more. When I say embrace that a bit more, I don't mean that you're not already embracing your faith. What I mean is don't stop disregarding those feelings that are God provided telling you, get out of the trade. Because there's always opportunity in the markets. Always. There's always another setup. There's always another trade available. So you're not going to be missing out on anything. But you might be losing everything if you stay in that trade. So just think about that, all right? Think about who you are with your faith. And we will be right back. Okay, folks. So I know I've been over this before, but this is really much more important than ever before. One of the easiest ways that you can find out how mentally healthy you are as a trader is to look back at all the times that you got bad food at a restaurant, whether it was fast food or a sit-down place, and that you didn't complain and you paid for the food anyway. Now, I've brought this up before, but there is a McDonald's, and I don't eat McDonald's a lot, but every once in a while, if I'm running late and I know I'm going to be on a call with the sheriff's department for hours, you know, sometimes I'll go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and, you know, get an Egg McMuffin just to tide me over throughout the day. And there is one on the way to get on the expressway close to where I live. And I'm going to tell you, it's like every other time the food is cold. Now, I'm heading out to a critical event, so I can't turn around and go back. So it got to the point where it's become so regular with that location to provide ice cold food. And I'm not talking like room temperature. I mean, like, I don't even think they had the heater on, you know, the steam table or whatever. So I really got frustrated contacting the franchise owner. They don't care. And corporate, they don't care. So I just decided I'm not going to frustrate myself anymore. Because, and the reason you're going to probably be saying, well, why don't you just go to a different location? Well, that would mean I'd have to get off the expressway somewhere else, and then that would delay me because this is like right outside my complex. So, and I keep hoping they're going to get better. I do. I keep thinking, please, Lord, you know, tell these young people to do their job. Anyway, they're not going to get any better. So they're now off my A-list. I will never stop there again. But what I did do was when I realized that corporate and the franchise owners did not care because they're making money hand over fist, because many people will not take the time to complain. Many people will say, okay, it's only $5. Oh, it's only $12. It's only $15. It's not only any amount. It's your money that you work for. Okay? So if I get an Egg McMuffin, okay, here in California, it's like almost $7 now, which is outrageous. Yes, that's another reason I'm not going to do it anymore. Or if I get a fish sandwich and a fry, now we're talking $12. Okay, that so now we got almost $20 that I shelled out, but I didn't get to eat the food from. I do not accept that at all. So what I did was I would wait 2 days and then I would call my credit card company and I would get the charge reversed. Now, I have to say, Bank of America has been very, very good about it. They've heard a lot of complaints about fast food restaurants, so they're not even arguing about it. They're just issuing the refund. Now, you may say, okay, it's only $20. It's only $10. It's only $5. It's not only anything. I work hard for every single dime I make, and no one is going to steal from me by not doing their job that I am paying them to do. So this is how you tell if you are mentally healthy. If you can do a chargeback on cold food or rotten food or the wrong food, when you have ordered something, you're already on your way or you're already home, and they say, oh, well, we'll redo it for you. No. Now you have to add that into the mix. Why should you be inconvenienced if I have to stop everything, especially if you have kids, and say, oh my God, we have to go back and get this done again? No, that is not acceptable. That cannot be acceptable. Same with a sit-down restaurant. I took a friend of mine out to a really nice, it was supposed to be a really nice place, not high-end, not you know, expensive place, but you know, a nice place. And we got there, it was highly recommended. And first of all, we were on the outside patio, which, okay, it's outside. But they, you know, they have these little fans now, they're little tabletop fans. And so they had them on the other tables. Well, they didn't have them on our table. So we're constantly swatting the flies away from our food. And I kept asking the waiter, hey, you know, can't we have one of those fans? And he just ignored us. He also was annoyed because we weren't drinking. Well, we weren't drinking because we were driving. And that's just a cardinal rule with me and my friend. And to be honest with you, the food was not good. Anyway, we didn't complain. We wanted to get caught up. We had a nice conversation. But what I did do is I called the manager up the next day and I told him it was not what I expected. And he said he didn't care. Okay. So once again, I called my credit card company and I told him, I said, you're not going to get paid for that. And he said, I don't care. I said, okay, fine. Trust me, we won't bother you again. So I called my credit card company and got a refund. So my point being is, if you are going to let all these little things, all these little amounts get wasted, that means you don't respect the effort you put in to your money to even be able to go out to eat. Now, I know you guys, well, you know, it's just this, it's just that. No, that's not the point. It's my money. I am paying them for a service. They did not provide it. Now, you're either going to give me a credit or I'm going to get the credit. That's how you know if you're mentally healthy as a trader. When you are not willing to blow off a small profit. When you take every profit in front of you, no matter how small it is, you are mentally healthy. And when you are mentally healthy, that's when you get the feeling from God that allows you to create uncommon wealth in the markets. This is Dr. Paula T. wishing you a great upcoming profit-filled, God-blessed week. Your Heavenly Father is sitting on your shoulder, helping you trade each and every day. And I am here supporting you, knowing that you will be the best trader you will be. It is written and it is done, and this is who you are meant to be, is uncommonly wealthy. This is your God-given birthright. Accept it, embrace it, believe it, and live it. I wish you the best. God bless. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. And any questions? 760-636-4290, paulatweb.com. Take care. See you next week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.